Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ICANN's Community Leaders GDPR Update Call. My name is Yvette Guignot, and I will be moderating today's webinar in the Adobe chat room. Before we start, I would like to remind everyone to follow the ICANN expected standards of behavior. You can find them in the link below provided in the chat room. Today's webinar, it'll be lasting about 60 minutes. That includes a Q&A session at the end. The webinar is also being recorded. Links to the recording and presentation materials will be posted on the ICANN Data Protection Privacy section of our website. We will answer your questions at the end of the webinar. Please submit all questions via the Adobe Connect chat pod. You may type your question at any time, providing by typing the word question at the beginning and at the end of your question. Please include your name, your affiliation, your company, your organization, along with your question into the labeled box, submit questions here. All right, I'd like to take a moment to welcome our community leaders and to let you know that today's webinar presenters from ICANN include Teresa Swinehart, a Senior Vice President for Multi-Stakeholder Strategy and Strategic Initiatives, Joran Marby, President and CEO, John Jeffrey, General Counsel and Secretary, David Olive, Senior Vice President, Policy Development Support, and Akram Atala, President, ICANN Global Domains Division. Lastly, I'd like to remind you to please mute your computers and phones. Okay, that's it for me. Now over to you, Teresa.
Hey, thanks, Yvette. Thanks, everybody, for joining. I know that it's in the middle of August, so for the Northern Hemisphere, this is a challenging month. Just to let you know, we did have regrets from Alan Greenberg and from Heather. Unfortunately, they're not able to join, but both of them are more than happy to take any questions as well. Our session today is going to cover a couple areas. One is a more general update. Then we'll touch on the unified access model, the temporary specification, discuss a little bit the expedited policy development process, and then other community work and advice that's come up, some of it which is clearly being community-led as well. If you can go to the next slide, Yvette, that'd be great. Thanks. Before we kick off and I turn this over to Joran, I just wanted to share with you this very high-level draft timeline just to give you a sense of the different interconnected moving parts as they relate to the different areas of the GDPR-related discussions. And part of the purpose of these calls is for us to share with you and to hear also from the community where the progress is in relation to these different areas of work so that we can be working together and coordinate and continue our dialogues that we've been starting and having over the past ICANN meetings. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Joran.
Thank you, Teresa. And at least for me, it's morning, so I will wish everybody a good morning. The idea of this reoccurring meeting came up during the SOE's meetings in our last ICANN meeting. So I hopefully we can continue those meetings and you will find them fruitful. There's a couple of things I want to touch upon before I leave over to my executives. I mean, John will cover our work on a unified access model later on, but I want to know how important it is that we get your input during this process. We are trying to achieve legal certainty for any model that is developed and to make sure that any advice or clarity received helps the community in its policy discussions. Just as we did previously with the so-called Calzone model, we want your questions and comments on some of the open areas interpretation to help guide our discussions with the European Data Protection Board and other relevant data protection authorities. This will help us to take our discussion with the DPAs to the next level. We are pursuing this path because we have the opportunity now to obtain advice from the DPAs while explaining what the organization and community are working on to achieve. With a better understanding of the law, we will be well positioned to develop, implement, and enforce a legally sound, consistent, unified model for access to non-public WHOIS data. This will also help all of us in our discussion, help all of you in your discussions, particularly on the current TEMSPEC. As you know, we received a letter from the European Data Protection Board answering the questions we had included in our last letter to them. We plan to share the next iteration of a unified access model in time for the next meeting of the technology subgroup, which is taking place on the 4th and 5th of September. The technology subgroup is one who is looking at issues such as WIS and providing input for the plenary meetings. The next plenary meeting is scheduled for 25 and 26th of September. And the more input we have from you in the community, the more fruitful our engagement will be in terms of seeking legal clarity. So I encourage you to bring forward your suggestions. The DPAs are open to engaging with us, but the window of opportunity is finite. First, as they have pointed out several times, they have limited resources and there are specific points in time where a topic can be addressed through their structures and processes. That is why we plan to publish the next iteration of a unified access model soon. The more clarity we can provide or the more specific questions we ask, the more meaningful guidance can give us. And to the questions we often receive, we are seeking legal clarity. We are not pursuing any particular top-down model as the TEMSPEC going forward. We do this because it's necessary, as we said many times, to be able to have a unified access model where the contracted parties feel legally sound, where the people who need information get access for information in an automated way. That's why we're doing this. Now, John will provide an update on the litigation and share where we are with the unified access model and the temporary specification. John, over to you.
Thank you. I can't quite see the slide, so if someone could tell me which slide's up, that would be helpful. Thanks.
You're on the general update, just so the update on litigation, and then we'll go to the unified access model next.
Very good. Thank you. So as many of you know, we filed an action in a court in Germany regarding the temporary specifications enforcement on the provisions for the admin fee and tech fee. And we've gone through a number of procedures in the court relating to that action. Most recently, we had an appellate court make a ruling that we could not use the temporary injunction mechanism that we were seeking in the German court because they did not believe that it was ripe yet in terms of actually going to the substance of the GDPR. So we do not yet have a ruling on whether the aspects of the temporary specification are impacted by the GDPR law and what the court would find on that particular element, but we're still testing that through the courts. Our next step will be to approach the appellate court regarding their ruling and have them review that before we proceed on to the next steps. And I'll take any questions on the litigation at the end of the session.
Can you go to the unified access model slide? Yeah. All right. So we're on the unified access model.
Thank you, Teresa. We anticipate that we're going to publish the next iteration of the unified access model later this week, and we hope that it will provide some more details about the shape of our model, and we want to make sure that we're as Joran said, we want to make sure that the community is participating in looking at this and helping us to get this right. And part of the purpose of this is to get this in front of the European Data Protection Board and the DPAs to allow them to consider a possible unified access model against the current GDPR and, in particular, against the accreditation sections that exist within the GDPR law that we know they intend to review during the upcoming months. When we publish the unified the next version of the unified access model later this week, you'll see that we found some areas of convergence among community views, We believe the use of RDAP as the technical protocol for providing access to registration data services is something the community is gaining convergence on. And we believe that having strong safeguards in a code of conduct is also gaining convergence. We also are seeking input on several elements where we see the community still not in agreement. And we hope that through comments and through questions being raised to the DPAs, we can help to gain more certainty around these areas. One, whether the authenticated users must provide a legitimate interest for each individual authenticated query. Also, whether the requirements for logging the queries can be clarified more, and whether the full WHOIS data set must be returned for an authenticated query, or whether parts of it would be. Also, who must provide the access? Is the access to be brought from a registry, a registrar, or from both? And finally, where there ought to be a fee imposed, or should be, could be a fee imposed, how would that happen, and would that happen for access to the non-public data? We welcome and encourage your input on all of these points, and we believe that these are the kinds of things that will help us gain convergence, gain legal certainty around this, and provide an opportunity for the presentation of a unified access model inside of this. We also think that this is really critical in order to inform both ICANN and inform the EPDP process about how this could work. Now, moving on to the TIMP spec. So moving on to the next slide, can you let me know if that comes up?
Yeah, it's up.
Thank you. The board will consider the reaffirmation of the temporary specification for GDTLD registration data on the 21st of August. It's holding a special meeting at that time. We do not anticipate, nor are we recommending, any changes to the temporary specification. So we expect that that would be a review by the board and an approval of the current temporary specification for an additional 3 months following the bylaws process. And with that, this summarizes the updates that I have, and I'll hand it over to David to share more information about the expedited policy development process. David.
Thank you, John. With the adoption by the ICANN board of the temporary specification for the GTLD registration data, there was an obligation of the GNSO Council to undertake a policy development process in this area. The Council initiated an expedited policy development process, or EPDP, during its meeting on the 19th of July, and subsequently different GNSO stakeholders and ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees were invited to appoint members. And they are coming from, of course, the ALAC, the GAC, and the ESAC. There are also two board liaisons and one liaison from ICANN's Global Domains Division, and one liaison from ICANN's legal department. The EPDP team started their actual deliberations on the 1st of August and are currently meeting twice a week in this process. We anticipate a delivery of the draft initial report by ICANN 63 taking place in late October of this year in Barcelona. That is the summary. Next on this call will be Akram Atala, who will share some more information about additional community work and advice received. Akram?
Thank you, David. Just a quick update on the few of the activities. The RDAP pilot discussion group has submitted a proposed profile. We anticipate receiving the service level agreements and the reporting requirements shortly this week, in the next few days. And we will review and publish the discussion groups proposed the profile, the SLAs, and the reporting requirements for public comment in the second half of August. So we're reviewing and we will publish as soon as we get the package. Also on the advice side, as you remember, the GAC provided advice at the San Juan meeting, which included four items the board has deferred taking action on because they were inconsistent with or may be considered to be inconsistent with the temp spec. As work progresses on the EPDP, the board may revisit this advice as we know more. Also, the GAC provided advice at the Panama meeting, which included a request for a status report on our work to develop a unified access model 4 weeks prior to ICANN 63. So we will also provide that to the full community. The SAC provided advice on the SAC 101, which was published on the 14th of June. It focused on domain name registration and is currently being considered by the ICANN board. With those updates, I'll hand it over to Teresa, who will give us one more update and open it up for questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Akram. So one other area of work that has an interdependency on the data protection related area is also the Registry Directory Services Review, which is currently underway and progressing its work very, very well. Alan Greenberg, unfortunately, is not able to be on the call today, but he asked that I convey a message to the group regarding the review, and then I'll post that in the chat room as well. His status on the review team is, to date, the review team will, at the time of the call, be holding its 38th conference call, not counting subgroup calls, and will be completing its third face-to-face meeting completed its third face-to-face meeting two weeks ago. Totaling seven meeting days. We have completed the analysis phase, have formulated our draft recommendations, and are currently finalizing them and determining level of consensus. The draft report is scheduled to be issued at the start of September, and the public comment will be open until a week after ICANN 63. There will be an engagement session in Barcelona. Depending on the comments received, we plan to issue our final report in late December or in January, with a presentation of the report at ICANN 64. GDPR clearly was problematic. We are not at the stage where we could evaluate ICANN's response to it, nor could we assess impact. But we also felt that we could not ignore it and pretend it wasn't there. So we have taken a position to assess what we can based on what we know now. That will be updated if necessary in the final report. And I'll post that in the chat room as well. So with that, that's a brief overview of some of the different moving parts that are related to this. As a reminder, if there's any questions, please provide those in the Adobe Connect chat room and label them submit questions here. That way we can make every effort to answer any questions in the allotted time. And just as a reminder as well, a recording of the webinar will be made available and posted on the ICANN Data Protection Privacy site as part of our website. And should we run out of any time, if you have any additional questions or comments after the webinar, please, as always, submit those to the GDPR at ICANN.org. So with that, I'll open it up for any questions and discussion. No questions? Let me see. I see Paul Diaz. Will the slides be made available for sharing with – yes. So the slides will be posted together with the webinar transcript or the recording of the webinar as well. Donna, I see your hand is up.
Thanks, Teresa. Donna Austin. Is it possible for somebody to provide an overview of how you think the development of the Unified Access Model, or A model, as John said, fits into the expedited policy development process? Or I'm just interested to know how you envisage that work, because I suspect that it has to be fed into the EPDP at some point, because Otherwise, it can't become consensus policy, and it is something that will be discussed by that. So can somebody provide an overview of how that will fit in? Thanks.
Donna, thank you. And if I could just remind everybody to also put the questions into the chat, please. That would be very helpful.
Donna, thank you for the question. As we pointed out numerous times now, it's not ICANN org who drives the expedited PDP. As we said a couple of minutes ago, and it's always hard to do things like this on a conference call because communication exists when the receiver has the ability to get it. It is that the intention we're doing is to provide legal clarity of something that is not described in the law in the first place. Without this work, the members of the community actually couldn't do any unified access model at all because there is not written in the law. And the problem is, of course, that as the law is described today, the contracted parties has a legal responsibility according to GDPR. So what we in practice are talking about is to diminish that legal responsibility for the contracted parties to the extent that they can feel confident that the model that we build up actually works. So it's really to provide the community with that kind of information for its future policy work that we're trying to do. Thank you very much.
Teresa, if there's no other question, I can add a little bit to that, if that's helpful.
Olivier, I see your hand is up. John, why don't you go ahead, and then Olivier is just want to reconfirm that the question is also put in the chat. John, go ahead.
So Joran's answer was spot on, but I think the one thing that would be helpful to add to it is that we understand from trying to go through the process with the Calzone and build out a temporary spec how difficult it is to map a potential policy against the law currently and against the necessary advice from the DPAs on how that law would be implemented. So I think this is one of those areas where we recognize that the law does not provide the clarity necessary for us to build out a unified access model, either at the ICANN staff level or inside of the policy work. And we hope that by presenting this to DPAs, we might get advice that would help clarify that opportunity for policy on something like a unified access model if it is to be included as part of the policy.
Thank you, John. And I'm also seeing that Olivier is writing questions regarding this. Is the EDP proposal going to be briefed about the new proposed unified access model? Can I take a step back and say that this is the first time, really, that the legislation has a direct impact on policy work within ICANN? And I think we're all trying to figure out a way of dealing with that. It would have been easier if we actually knew what the law says in those cases. That's why we do it in several different iterations. One of them is that any information we send out, before we send it to the DPAs, we ask for comments from the whole community, because I think it's the whole community needs to be able to engage in this. I would suspect and I would know that the members of the expedited PDP also takes into account the information we receive back from the legal authorities in Europe about the potential for unified access model. I want to iterate that when we did the what led up to the temp spec was fairly easy compared to what we're trying to do now. The temp spec was really to look at what we already have and make it legal according to the law based on input. What we're trying to do now is to find the legal circumstances where we can have any potential unified access model going forward. But we know and we want to respect the community when it comes to the different balance that has been made. And as we did last time, we are neutral in the different perspectives of a unified access model when it comes to the community. And we want that to be shown. So as we talked about a little bit while ago, what we are doing is that we will publish more questions and more ways going forward based on the input we already received about a potential unified access model, because we have received some information already now. And based on that, we add on questions, and we invite the community to be a part of that. Thank you.
Olivier, is that an old hand, and does it go to the question in the chat?
Yeah, that it's not an old hand. It's Olivier Capanablanc speaking. It's just a sort of follow-up as an answer to what Yuren was saying. And I think that one of the questions really from my community is when ICANN comes up with these new proposed unified access models, what coordination is there with the EPDP? And really the angst here is about having good coordination so that we're not working in parallel and we're not working, I'm not going to say against each other because I don't think anybody's working against each other, but if there is some discrepancy and some misunderstandings and lack of coordination, then we might end up with a point when, oh wait a minute, the goalposts have changed and what's being designed is actually outside the goalposts. So we need to be quite careful about this. I realize we're entering new territory on this. You know, with INA's strategy of transition, there was new territory being entered in one way, and with the accountability process, there was another new territory, and here we're entering another new territory where ICANN is directly affected and contracted parties are directly affected by outside events, as we're also having a PDP that works on this. So I hope that this is being taken care of. And, that's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Olivia. First, thank you for – no, I don't think anyone is working – at least ICANN.org as an organization is not trying to do something against anyone else. And yes, it's new charter territory. And yes, we will try to provide as much information as we can. And as a reminder, we have org liaisons to the expedited PDP as well as board liaisons. But what you're saying is we are trying to figure out a way, the best way we can support you. So if I turn the question back to the expedited PDP, and I will take this question back through my liaisons, through the expedited PDP, Kurt, and ask him a direct question. What is the best way we can do to make sure that the expedited PDP working group has sufficient information when it comes to our interactions to the DPAs to make sure that we avoid any misunderstandings? Is that okay, Olivia?
Yeah, that's absolutely spot on. Thanks.
David, did you want to add anything to that?
Thank you, Teresa. Yes, in that sense, in supporting the work of the EPDP, we, of course, will be on monitoring and looking at all the information and making sure that there is provided in a timely manner and make sure that the group has all the information that we have so that they can make those choices and decisions.
I think that the underlying problem here is that there is a catch-22 in this situation. One of them is that legal input from the data protection authorities in Europe will limit the expedited PDP's view on how to work with a unified access model, because it will put out the boundaries legally for what we can do as an ICANN institution. So that will, of course, be something that is not easy to adopt to, and the more legal guidance we get, the more the limitations. That's because it's the law. The other side of looking at this is without that legal guidance, we can come up with a multi-stakeholder process, the best unified access model in the world, and then afterward it will be deemed illegal by the European data protection authorities. And the problem is, of course, how do we test that legally? Because to be able to test the unified access model legally would be actually to go to court. And the only one in this scenario really can go to court is one of the contracted parties who challenge the data protection authorities by giving out information. That can have both a moral implications on actually giving out what could later be deemed private information, and it can also have, which could be interesting as well, the sort of fines that could be paid out by that specific contracted party. So what we're trying to do here is avoid that scenario, to give the community the ability to make decisions based on the data protection authority's interpretation of the law. So we know, or you know, the boundaries for what and how we can take decisions about a unified access model. That, I think, is something that we will continue to work together on, how to make sure that that process makes the best world. But I take a note here, and I will repeat that we will contact the head, Kurt, who is the head of the expedited P2P, and make sure that he feels confident that we find a good way of sharing information with the expedited P2P in such a way that the community working in that group has access to all the information we have as well. And by the way, we will continue to publish all the information we have, all the questions we ask to the DPAs, and the answers to the DPAs as we do it in real time, as you've seen before. Do we have any more questions? Thank you, Dan. I would like to take the opportunity to thank you all for being on this call and the people who's listening to the recording later. We will continue to have those sort of informal updates on a regular basis going forward, because we do receive a lot of questions, we do receive a lot of comments, and it's important for us, as always going forward, that everybody has the same information all the time. So from a logistical perspective, I hope this works out. The reason for we asking people to put it into the chat is because both of us, it makes me to understand that we actually get the questions and we can answer those questions. So I hope we can continue this format, and I would like to say thank you very much and goodbye, and also looking forward to work with you for the rest of the year, who will be challenging not only by the expedited PDP, where I have the greatest trust in the community to follow their work, but also my job, provide the expedited PDP and the rest of the community with as much legal legal knowledge as I can have, or guidance when it comes to unified access model. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, and we look forward to the next call. And as always, any questions or comments, please submit them to the GDPR at ICANN.org. Thanks. Have a good day.